Can't stand around just wasting time. Amen. We thank God for every one of you, and we're grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. How many are glad to be here? Amen. It's always a joy to greet you in the precious name of our Savior. And we've got a lot going on here at the church, getting ready for our homecoming that's coming up third Sunday in August, August the 20th. So we're excited about that. We're going to have one service. That service is going to be at 10 a.m. If you get here at 11, we're going to already be rolling. Amen. But 10 a.m., we'll be having our homecoming service. And as you know, we're having the gospel keynotes from Tyler, Texas, going to be here at Crossroad. I don't know what we're going to do with the crowd, but we'll figure it out. Amen. And right after this service, I think we are having a rehearsal. So we're having a rehearsal. We've got a couple of folks that's going to be joining with our male chorus. We're just going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. As we give honor to his name, and then in anticipation for that. Got to hang out with the Clark Bowman family yesterday, and Mr. Esau Clark celebrated his 94th birthday. So we want to just give a shout out to him, thanking the Lord for him. And as you know, we also have this month coming up, we've got our car show that's going to be on July the 29th. That'll be from 9 until 1. This is an opportunity for our church to do outreach. You don't have to knock on doors. All you have to do is come out, join with us. Those of you that will be volunteering, we're going to need about 15 volunteers for that day. We can always have more, but come out, be a part of that. I know we're going to be setting up for our church school to give out literature, and we're going to be doing different things to reach out to the community. You've got to believe that the world is unsaved, and we need to do what we can to help them understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we're going to have cars there. We're going to have the Corvette Club, the Jeep Club, and a lot of vendors that's going to be here. And I believe Courtney is going to be displaying her artwork. Amen. So we get look forward to that as she displays her artwork on that day as well. I've been in revival all week, so if it sounds like I'm going to be doing a revival sermon, you probably are right. Amen. But every day ought to be revival. Amen. Amen. As the song was just saying, and Lee, I thank you for that, because there are a lot of people, they're losing their joy and their enthusiasm of serving the Lord. You've got to be excited when you're serving God. You can't worry about what he said, she said, they said. If that's going to steal your joy, who are you serving? Can I talk to somebody? You know, when you let folk come in and take away your joy, your peace of mind, now you can't praise God, you can't give him thanks. Well, because somebody says, oh, come on now. You got to serve the all-powerful God and know that he's the one that brought you this far. Amen? Look at somebody, tell him, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I almost said I ain't going to give up. You know, it's about to kick in. Let me invite you to a passage of scripture. We've been talking about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. I was one that did not really understand everything about prayer. And even though I've studied, I still don't understand everything about prayer. But I know a little bit more now what the power of prayer can do in our lives. How God can do some amazing things through you and me as we turn to him in prayer. Jesus is probably our greatest example of prayer. While he was on this earth for his 33 years, he prayed. If Jesus prayed, how dare us to think that we don't need to pray? Amen. Or to only pray when there's an emergency or there's a crisis. Jesus prayed because he wanted to maintain his fellowship with the Father. Show me another way that you can maintain your fellowship with God other than prayer. And I would probably have to congratulate you as being the genius of the year. But I've learned that prayer works. Look at somebody, tell them prayer works. Luke chapter 22. Here is Jesus in his moment of crisis, going up against the greatest battle that will ever be fought by anyone. As a matter of fact, there was no one who could fight that battle except him. He was the only one. And it reads as verse 40 tells us, and when he was at that place, being the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. May the Lord continue to bless the reading of his word. I want to share with you the thought, the prayer that pleases God. The prayer that pleases God. You may be seated. Father, as we've studied, we pray that you'd open up my mind and my heart to repeat what you've said to me, to share with this congregation. I don't want to give them information. I want to give them the inspiration and power of God in this message. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, help me to proclaim your truth. Help me to stand up for you, Lord, and know that you're God. And beside you, there is none other. I thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that you would use me in honor of your name. I pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. 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 The prayer that pleases God. Let me ask you a question. At the end of the prayer that you pray, would God say amen? The word amen does not mean I'm ending the prayer. It means so be it. In other words, it will be done as you have prayed. So think about it. Will God say amen when you pray? When the Lord acknowledges our prayer, there is an affirmation. I'll get into that in a little bit. There is the confirmation that God has heard you and that what you have just prayed about, God's going to do something about it. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. There's a difference where we would consider on one side, there is the ceremonial prayer. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. You want to pray those prayers when you're in a congregation where you have various people and you don't know what's on everybody's mind, so you pray more in a general way. But you have to ask yourself, even when you pray those prayers, will God say amen? Will the Lord say, so be it. Let it be done. I'm going to empower this to happen in your life. I'm going to release it. I believe we have yet to learn the power of prayer. So I want to give you a few things today as we go through our notes and as we go through some things. You may want to jot down some of these things because as you pray, I want you to put it into practice. Don't just say, well, I'm going to keep on praying the way I've been praying and you'll get the same results as you've always gotten. If you want powerful prayers, if you want to be able to reach heaven, and for heaven to stir you up on the inside, then you need to know how to call on the Lord. You have some witnesses here. To bring you into context of what's happening. In just a few hours, Jesus will face what no other person will ever face. He's about to go to the cross and die. Not for his sins, but for the sins of the entire world for all time. Everything, literally everything, depends on him. And I may also remind you that when he had to be lifted up from the earth, as some theologians said, God's judgment did not fall on the earth because it fell on him. Isaiah picked it up. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In other words, you're here today, you're delivered today because of what Christ did. But guess what? Jesus was totally human and totally God. In his humanity, he was struggling because he knew what that meant. He knew that the curse of all ages was now falling upon his shoulders. And he could feel the heaviness of that hour. How many of you have gone through some heavy hours in your life? Heavy, heavy. The weight, the burden on your shoulder, just heavy. And you just prayed, God, I need you to give me strength. Anybody been there? While we may be able to relate to it somewhat, we can never, ever explain the enormousness of what Jesus faced in that hour. So he said to his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. He didn't mean that prayer would be an escape so that you would never have to face a conflict in your life. That's not what he said. Pray so that when that heaviness comes over you, you won't give in to it. You will be able to endure it. We might put it this way, I never would have made it if it had not been for God. Somewhere in my prayer and his answering, I got a little bit of strength, and now I feel better. It didn't remove my problem, but it moved me. It didn't erase what had happened, but it began to move through my mind to where I had some relief. And I knew that God was with me. Knowing that God is with you when you pray, and as a result of your prayers, one of the greatest feelings that you will ever have. If you're facing something, getting ready to go through something, the greatest assurance that you will ever have is that the Lord is going to be with you. Can I tell you what my grandma said? She said, he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Last week, I had the opportunity to hear a choir from Clarksville, Virginia. And they sung that hymn like I'd never heard it before, In the Garden. And I believe the inspiration for the song, In the Garden, came from Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. I come to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Don't you love those moments when God walks with you? God talks with you. Not changing the environment, not changing the circumstances, but as he talks with you, he changes you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the prayer that pleases God. Let me give you a couple of things. What are some prayer essentials that you would need in your life? Luke, in this passage, I believe, has done what is the equivalent of giving us a few snapshots of Jesus praying. He gives a snapshot. He said, now, here's how he came into the garden, burden. And so Luke takes a picture of that. Sometimes you look through your picture albums. How many of y'all look through your old picture albums lately and you said, now what in the world was I doing then? Luke, the gospel writer, tells you what Jesus was doing. He includes a little caption through the word of God that you would now know what he's facing, what he's having to do, and how imperative it is that he seeks the will of his Father. You need some prayer essentials in your life. Number one, you've got to go into prayer with God as your only source. Your only source. Say that with me, your only source. He's your all in all. He's your bridge over troubled water. He is the one that made the heavens and the earth and made you. And he made you for such a moment as this. God is your only source. You don't have options. You don't have, well, I can lean on this and I can lean on that. All you got is God to lean on. When you pray and you want a prayer that pleases God, you must recognize, Lord, you are my only hope. That's how you pray to please God. But not only is your only hope, know what you need in prayer. We sometimes go to God and we have a little smorgasbord, as if we are, you know, going through some type of menu. Okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that and I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that. Don't pray that way. Don't be all over the place. Be very specific about what you are asking God to do, or to at least have in mind the situation where you're praying over. Is that simple? In other words, when David went out to face the giant, Goliath, he didn't pray about the weather. He didn't pray about, well, we got this problem at home and that. He said, God, I'm getting ready to face a giant. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to face this giant if you don't help me. He prayed and God answered his prayer not only with a victory, but he came out with greater confidence that God can make a way out of no way. There was no way that David was supposed to win against Goliath except for one thing. God told him, I'm going with you. When you've got the Lord to go with you, that is what you have done, and God is pleased with your prayer when you're saying, Lord, here's my need. Here's my need. But then there's a third element that you've got to be aware of. You've got to stay God-focused. Stay God-focused. Now, three things you need to do. What's number one? God is my only source, right? Got nobody else but God. Second thing, I've got to focus on my need. What is my need? What is it that I want God to do? You know, I don't have to repeat over and over, he woke me up this morning. God knows that, and you do too. You got to get on to the business of what your prayer is all about. Amen? But then you come to the prayer with having a God focus. Jesus specifically assigned us to praying by these words. He said, now when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. A lot of times we spend much of our prayer telling God about the problem like he doesn't know. As a matter of fact, he designed that problem in your life right at the point where you are right now so that you would get the strength that you need to get through that situation. Are you here? So God has called you into prayer, and if you can stay God-focused, keep your mind stayed on him, you'll get through the problem. That's your lesson for today. If you want to pray a prayer that pleases God, you've got to make sure that you're calling upon the Lord and that you're leaning upon him. Now, you're probably asking this question, well, did Jesus pray that way? Absolutely. Absolutely. He knew that his Father was the only one that would help him in that time. And he didn't give God his plan, say, okay, God, here's the way I look at it, here's the way I see it. Jesus surrendered in prayer, and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He prayed specifically about a cup that he was about to take part of. That cup was not only filled with your sin, but it was filled with the wrath of God Almighty as judgment on sin. We think it was so easy when we look at some pictures of Jesus and he's got a few drops coming from his head and a few drops coming from his hands, and we say, and then he was just kind of suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, that was agony, but the physical agony could not compare with the spiritual agony that was on him. He was taking on himself the very wrath of God. In other words, it's as if You're getting ready to get punched, and somebody said, let's slow motion, let's hold that punch. Somebody else stands up in front of you, either a stuntman, don't you wish that would happen? Stuntman comes up and says, no, I'll take the punch, and so they take it for us. God was about to punch the world with judgment. And Jesus said, I'll take the wrath. I'll take the pain. I'll take the rejection. I'll take all of these things. And literally, I believe that there were demons rushing upon him because he that knew no sin became sin for us. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stay dead. I'm so glad that Jesus just didn't die. But to prove he had the victory early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave and proclaimed, all power is in my hand. So how do you pray? Jesus is our best model for that. You know, they have the game show that's on TV, Price is Right. How many of y'all watch that, Price is Right? Vanna White still going across the stage, flipping their little numbers and everything. Started off when she was about 18 years old. Who? Wheel of Fortune. Okay, I got the right one. Wheel of Fortune. Those online, yeah, Wheel of Fortune. All right. She started off as a model. And she made a career doing that one thing. Flipping the little numbers. Flipping the little script that was on the screen, and people get to guess what it was. Here's Jesus. Luke taking another picture. He said, here's Jesus praying. How does he pray? If I'm going to model my prayer after Jesus, how does Jesus pray? He prays with confidence. He was confident that God was going to hear him. Even though he was becoming the sin bearer for all of humanity, he was confident that his Father was going to hear him. How many of you are confident that God is going to hear you? Amen. Notice what he says. Father, if you are willing. Now, that's an interesting statement. If you're willing. Evidently, he had something else on his mind. And what was it? He said, this cup, remove this cup from me. Look at the word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was confident that God could have changed his mind if he wanted to. You spend a lot of time in prayer, you're not confident. Because you're not sure that what you want lines up with what God wants. We struggle with that. We say, God, here's how I see it. And I'm going to pray until you see it my way. Come on, admit it. I'm going to pray until you change your mind. What is Jesus saying in this verse? The confidence means I'm confident that whatever God plans is going to work. Now, here was the Son of God, perfect. Perfect. He could have gone on his own will. He said, no, Father, I'm not going to do that. I am confident that whatever you have for my life is going to work. Now, here's where we go and we get derailed a little bit. Well, God, if I can't have it my way, I'm just going to stop praying. Please don't do that. Please do not stop praying because of misfortune. Please do not stop praying because of something that did not go your way. Because I can tell you what, if you hold on just a little bit longer, everything, oh, you know the rest of the story, everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Romans 8:28 tells you it's going to be all right. And it tells us that if you hold on to God, if you pray to him, God's going to work the situation out for good, even though it might not be good, might not feel good, might not look good, but it's going to be good. At the end of it all, God's going to bring me through. I'm going to get better, and God's will is going to get done. Jesus prayed with confidence. He prayed the prayer that pleased God, but then he prayed consistently. Back over in the 18th chapter, remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus was praying And he used the illustration of not Jesus, but this woman was praying, and Jesus used her as an illustration of how you need to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Well, what did Jesus do now that he's facing this trial in his life? Did he pray one and done? No. Matthew tells us that Jesus prayed three times. And in his prayer, he prayed the same thing. He began to go to God in prayer, and he consistently called on God, saying, Father, if you are willing, you can cause this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What was he doing? Trying to change God's mind? No. He was dealing with his mind. He was dealing with his mind. I'm going to read you a verse of scripture. Absolutely interesting. This verse tells us that Jesus learned something while he was praying. Hebrews, if you have the Bibles, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Got your iPad? Pull it up. Don't know where it's at. Google it. It says in Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Is that what your Bible reads? He offered up what? Fervent prayers and petitions to the one who could save him from death. Notice what it says then. He was heard. God heard him praying. He was heard because of his reverent submission. What he was doing in prayer, Jesus was saying, Father, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm trying to get my mind to the level where you are. In other words, he was learning something. When you pray, you use it as a learning experience. Are you with me? I said, you don't know everything. You might know something, but you don't know everything. Amen? Amen? Notice also, he learned obedience. What did he learn? He learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect or complete, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Give the Lord a hand for that. Amen? Jesus did something amazing in that when he was praying. Now, all of that is to say this. We struggle in prayer because our efforts are saying, Lord, I need to have it my way. You ain't at Burger King, right? You're praying to Almighty God. You're asking God, Lord, I want you to bless me so that my mind will be made up and my heart is fixed. Now, what you want to do is for, in Luke's perspective, you want to have God and to snapshot you in prayer, saying so that when you get up from prayer, I got what I needed. I'm satisfied now. I got the answer that God wanted me to have. That is the purpose of prayer. Let me move on. Third thing, contentment. Contentment. Was Jesus content with the prayer that he prayed? Well, verse 42 tells us. While he was in prayer, remember he was weak? Remember he felt the burden? He was struggling? But then all of a sudden, as a result of his prayer, God dispatched an angel. And what did the angel do? Strengthened him. My, God didn't remove the cup. God gave him more strength. Maybe, perhaps, you don't want God to remove the situation. You want to get stronger. You want to have more endurance. The only people that are achieving things today are those who will take on a problem and say, you know what, I'm going to find a solution. Those who walk away from it, nah, problem can't be solved. Can't do anything with it. It's kind of like me when I used to work on cars. And Jeff, I could take them apart. Just give me a wrench. I could take them apart. And matter of fact, it didn't take me that long. Matter of fact, one time I put things back together, and Malcolm, I thought I had everything together. My wife came out there, which she going to be snooping around. And she asked me, what is this part right here? I said, oh, don't worry about it. Just something extra. I'm crossing my fingers. Sure enough, started the car up, and the thing didn't move. Left something out. My point is, when you finish praying, everything needs to be in place. You need to be at the point now where you finish your prayer and you are thoroughly equipped to face whatever it is that you just prayed about. Let me apply this. Some of you got medical appointments that's coming up, and they're about to terrify you. Some of you got other matters that are going on in your life, and it's causing you a whole lot of grief. Any folks there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But as you pray, God, through this process of strengthening you, has it now to where I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with this. If it's something that has happened in the past, I'm satisfied with it now. I can't change it, but what I can do is change me. You pray to the point now to where, God, I'm all right now. Notice he didn't change outside things. He changed you. That is the whole point of you praying. So what have we talked about? Talked about confidence in prayer. We talked about consistency in prayer. Keep on praying. We also talked about contentment in prayer, getting up off your knees. I saw this little store, a little T-shirt that was on, and on the T-shirt had written, "The devil thought I had given up because I was on my knees, but then he heard me say, amen." Some of y'all gonna get it when you get home. He thought I'd given up, but when I said amen, I'm now content. I now have the confidence that I need to face what I'm going to face. You'll notice all through the next couple of chapters in Luke and also the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Mark, you'll notice that Jesus never really goes back into this intense prayer. I believe he kept in the attitude of prayer, but he never goes back. He doesn't have to go back to the garden. He didn't have to go back, so let me start all over again. He's continuing in prayer because now he's got what he wanted. He's got his Father's will. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't leave here today with anything else, leave today with the Father's will operating in your life. I can tell you that God has a better plan for your life than you could ever have. I can tell you that he wants to take you further than what you've ever been in your life. I can tell you that what God wants to give you is more than what you could ever imagine. And all you got to say is, Father, let your will be done. I'm content with that. Everybody all right with that? Amen. One thing I'm going to close with. Not only is it being consistent in prayer, confident in prayer, and content in prayer, but you also need the confirmation. Did God say amen to Jesus' prayer? I would say absolutely yes. Because he wasn't praying, Father, I want to do it my way, and I can take it from here. He was saying, Father, let your will be done. And God said, okay, this is my will, so be it. When you finish praying, you want God to say, amen, so be it. I'm going to work it out in your life. I'm going to move in such a way that you're going to see the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never see the power of God on our own will. The only way you're going to see God's flow from heaven is that you got to give up your will and say, Lord, let it be done. Do it your way, Jesus. And Lord, I believe that everything is going to be all right. How do we know that his prayer was confirmed? It tells us in Hebrews 5 what he had to go through, and then it tells us that he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus was going through that time of prayer. You're going to go through that time of prayer. Whatever the need is, whatever the situation is, you, as you pray, remember, God, I'm surrendering to you. God, I'm giving it all to you. God, I am following your plan for my life, and I know that you're going to work it out. Let me ask you a question as I go to my seat. Has God ever failed you yet? Has he ever let you down? I didn't ask you, did he do things your way? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, has God ever failed you? He's always been a way maker and always will. He brought you through one storm, and he can take you through plenty other storms. If he made a way yesterday, guess what? God doesn't change. The same God who brought you through is going to take you to the place where you need to be. I talked about it last week in revival, where there's two types of repentance. One you need to do in turning from your sin, but the other you need to do in turning to God. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is always about turning to God. Got a need in your life? Turn it to God. Better than that, turn it over to God. Turn that need over. Turn that problem over. Turn that crisis over to God and watch him make a way out of no way. He's Almighty God. So what we're going to do, final snapshot, what we're going to do is we're going to pray something called the Nicene Creed. Some of you are probably saying, what? The church was becoming chaotic around the 300s and probably a little bit before that time. Everybody had their opinion on everything. And as you can imagine, the church was not growing doctrinally. They were departing from the doctrines of God and just accepting anything and everything about God. A couple of things that we believe here at Crossroad, we believe that God is God. He's not man. He's not the man upstairs. He's Almighty God. We believe that God's Son, Jesus Christ, was totally God and that he came into this world to redeem us. We believe that the Bible is without error. That means it has no error. It has the complete Word of God. You don't need anything else except God's holy Word. There is no additional revelation. This is it. And if you can get into this, or better yet, let it get into you, you're going to be blessed beyond measure. Amen. So Nicaea was the place where they met to say, hey, we've got to come up with something. We've got to come up with some type of creed or some statement that says who we are. Now, to let you know that this is something that we believe in the Baptist Church. I'm not just making this up. The articles of faith are based on the Nicene Creed. So what does it say, preacher? We're going to read it together. What do we believe? Say it with me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten but not made. Here's a big word, consubstantial, which means the very essence of God was also in Christ. Consubstantial of one being with the Father. Through him, all things were made. Amen. Is that good? Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Don't be coming up in here talking about, well, I believe this and that. No, 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 no. We ain't going with that. We've been on this journey for a long time. Amen. And we found out that whatever God has for us, it is for us. It'll turn you from sin. It'll keep you in the path of righteousness. It'll make you holy. It'll give you power. It'll give you grace. It will bring you in fellowship with God. The Lord will never, ever, ever let you down. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. That's the prayer that pleases God. Father, I'm so thankful that you've allowed us to speak on prayer, to share this message today, and to know that you're our only hope. This world is getting darker and darker, but I pray that the light in your people, that the very light of God would illuminate us and bless us so that we can allow that light to shine that all might see. Save the one that needs salvation today. Give them that conviction that they need to call on you and know that you're God. I pray you touch hearts, change lives, And Lord, yes, the people are going through. Some are facing some dilemmas in their life. And I pray that you'd heal where there needs to be healing, strengthen where there needs to be strength. But most of all, be with us and be God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Going to give the invitation. I'm going to ask that you stand.